What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little Alabama as they have a big matchup against LSU this weekend and some Seahawks as well. As Seattle surprised a lot of people, they're sitting in at 5-3, and they have the Arizona Cardinals this weekend out in the desert. And now joining us is a man that started Alabama, did win a league MVP with the Seattle Seahawks, and that is Sean Alexander. And tomorrow, the Sean Alexander semifinalist for Freshman Player of the Year is going to be announced. Sean, always great to hear your voice. How you been?
Brother, I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. So we're coming up on the 26th anniversary of your 1996 freshman year, and everyone remembers that game against LSU when you had over 290 rushing yards and four touchdowns. All these years later, what's the memory still that lives in your mind from that game?
That night was so amazing. You know, I always remember Montoya Madden, the sophomore fourth-string running back, and me being the third-string running back. We're 19 years old playing video games the night before because there's no way in the world when 8-9 Bama LSU play each other that we're either getting on the field. And I remember the coach saying, Alexander, you're in. And my first carry was a 17-yard touchdown run right before halftime. And Montoya's looking at me like, I hate you. You mean, we sit up till 3 in the morning. You know, we're playing video games. And you go out there, and you score a touchdown, and everybody's going to be like, oh, Sean's great. And I said, you know what? I used to get in grooves like this, nights like this, and I'd just be killing. Man, you should have saw me when I was in Kentucky. We're laughing at halftime before Coach Stallings, who's the legendary coach that doesn't even, before he walks in the thing to give us the talk, and we're laughing about this, like, oh, man, if I was out there, I'd be killing it. And then all of a sudden, the third quarter, they put me back in the game. And I thought, holy cow, this is really Bama LSU. And 291 yards later, it was just a night to remember, man. It was wonderful.
You have one 70-something-yard touchdown in a game. That's impressive. You had two. Like, how the heck did you process that in the moment with all that you just said?
Yeah, it was happening so fast. They were both in the third quarter. You know what I mean? So I come back out, and that's like my sixth and tenth carry of the game, and it's just on. And so, you know, they were telling us how the whole week you got Booger McFarland, who was their All-American defensive tackle. You know what I mean? You got all these great linebackers you're going against. They're like, hey, cover the ball. If we get, you know, this is going to be those 2 inches in a cloud of dust. And I'm like, okay, here it is. Hey, just strap up, and you're going to be banging. And I'm cutting back on a hole, and I'm running down the sideline for 60 and 70-yard runs. It was crazy.
It's always wild to me with athletes, and you were supposed to have a big-time NFL career, and you did so, how unexpected success still occurs when you have so much greatness in your body like this story that you're telling right now.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is we all play the game of being disrespected, you know. So here I am, you know, my closest friends, you know, there were no cell phones in the 90s for everybody, especially no black kids in the inner cities. And you know, so here you have my closest friends I would go on these trips with: Charles Woodson, Mr. Ohio; Randy Moss, Mr. West Virginia. Hey, what game are you going to? How would you play this week? Oh, great. Okay, yeah, cool. Hey, maybe we'll see each other. Maybe we won't. Hey, maybe that'd be cool if we all went to the same school. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll. There was no cell phones. You didn't connect with anybody. And so when that year ends and I'm named a high school player of the year by this thing called ESPN that we didn't even really know what it was, you know what I mean? You know, like it's a totally different game that the kids now have and the relationships that they have and what they think about themselves and their talents. I always felt like man, I'm not getting the respect that I'm supposed to get. And they're like, you're from Kentucky. You weren't really that good. You know what I mean? And now they're like, oh, this person was 5-star. This person was great. So you play the game of, I'm so disrespected. Let me go prove you wrong. And that's what everybody does. And so it was just a lot easier to do it back in the day. So it was always a surprise to go out there and be great. Not surprised that you did it, but it was a surprise like, ha, here, I told you. You know what I mean? And so that was the game that people played mentally back in the day.
What was the difference in your decision on why you wanted to go to Alabama?
Ah, man. You know, I wanted to play for a great school. So my top three was Alabama, Michigan, and Notre Dame. So those were three winningest programs at the time. I wanted to play for an iconic coach. And so Lou Holtz was at Notre Dame. And my older brother, Duran, he had an academic scholarship to Notre Dame. So Notre Dame had an edge. But I was the typical little brother, so I used to be the diehard Michigan fan, and I tell Desmond Howard all the time, you know, he almost had me go there as a middle school kid just watching him play, you know. But when I went up to Michigan, it was in the middle of a blizzard that they had, and I thought,
bad timing.
I don't do blizzards. I don't do blizzards, you know. And then in Notre Dame, I loved Lou, but I just felt like he was about to leave. You know how sometimes you just get that feeling, yeah, like, oh, he's not going to be here, you know? And then I go down there, and Gene's like Lou. Bigger personality in life, runs the whole program. It's tough, but tough love, and he demands guys to be greater than they are. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't even know that Bama had all the national championships. I mean, that's how much I did not know about the school. But I knew that they understood what greatness looked like, and I was like, I want to be a part of that. And so it just fit me, and I loved seeing, you know, even back then, that the best players from their states all coming there to go see if they were the best in the world or in the country at that time. And, you know, you seeing the best running back from Tennessee and the best running back from Alabama already there a couple years older than me, and I'm like, I can get those guys, you know, like, that's still the mantra of Alabama. They go get the best players and see what happens. And the practices were super intense and super competitive. And then the best man usually stands at the end. And so everybody's got to wait the turns, you know what I mean? So, you know, even my great freshman year, didn't start any games my freshman year. And all them yards, you know, and 7 or 8 touchdowns and no starts. You know, so that's just how it worked, you know.
So what you're telling me, Sean Alexander, if you visited Michigan in the Big House, if it was like 75 and sunny that day, you would have been a Wolverine?
I'm telling you, if it was 75 and sunny, people would have saw starting quarterback Tom Brady, starting running back Sean Alexander, starting wide receiver Charles Woodson.
Wow. That's crazy. That's wild, because, yeah, and it just shows you, like, it just shows you what recruits are looking for when they go on a visit, and one bad weather day means Sean Alexander's out on being a Wolverine. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Fred Jackson was the running back coach, and he said, hey, Sean, can I just tell you something? I thought for sure you would tell us you're going to sign this week. I was like, I know. Kind of weird. I just think I'm going to think about it. He's like, don't you leave and not sign with us. So he's like, don't you go somewhere. He's like, where are you going next week? Alabama. I said, yeah, I didn't really give Alabama that much of a look, but I just feel like I should. I went down there and I loved it. Loved everything about it.
What a story. Sean Alexander here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. So big game this weekend for Alabama up against LSU. LSU's getting hot this time of the year, and they're trending in the right direction. How concerned are you? I know you're going to the game. How concerned are you with Alabama? Because they haven't looked like the machine that has been Alabama of years past, and they still only have one loss in the year.
Yeah, you know, I'm not concerned because of LSU being so good or Alabama being so bad. I'm just not concerned because it's a bunch of still young men figuring themselves out and figuring out how to go be great. And so I just love the challenge for Alabama. You know, this game is always special. Alabama takes it very seriously. And this is one of those things that we like when teams are trending hot, because that's what we want to play against. We want to play against teams at their best. And then also, I just always remind people, we know Bama did not play their best games that third Saturday in October. We know they didn't play their best game. And yet we miss a 50-yard field goal, and then the other team hits their long field goal, and they beat us by 3, and the whole world is shook. We're like, wait, this is still football. Like, we could play them again, and we're not scared of that. You know what I mean?
You know, I shouldn't be surprised about it, Sean, but it really is incredible. Every time Alabama loses, and we went with this with the Patriots as well, it's, is this the end for Nick Saban? Is the Alabama dynasty over after one loss? It's crazy how it's talked about.
Yeah, one loss by three after we just missed a long field goal and they made a long field goal. Come on, what are we talking about here? Like, we're going to be okay, and we're going to play Bama football, and it's going to be in these great games that are classic LSU, Auburn, SEC championship. That's just what we do. And so it's just going to be great to kind of, you know, add to the fabric of the Alabama tradition.
And Bryce Young looks like he's going to be a star in the NFL.
Yeah. He's a special player. He's got a special mind. You know, I was talking with Trent Richardson and Bo Scarborough just yesterday, just about the history of Alabama and the running backs and how they have really upgraded the quarterbacks and what they allowed the quarterbacks to do over these last decade. You know, with, you know, just the last four guys were just amazing, including Bryce. And so Bryce is just, he's special, man. He understands the game. He understands what he wants to do. The coaches try to put him in a position to use all of his gifts. And, you know, I think, honestly, if he didn't get hurt and he beats Tennessee, he could be back-to-back Heisman. And so it's still out there. He's just going to have to be phenomenal, but he's a special talent.
And I'm also really happy for Jalen Hurts, too, who was at Alabama, got replaced by Tua, then had to help them out of that SEC title game when Tua got hurt, had some success as a Heisman finalist at Oklahoma. It's good to see Jalen Hurts. Really, like you said, continue to prove the doubters wrong with what he's doing with the Eagles.
Yeah, we're not surprised by Jalen. It's just competition, and that this is a part of Alabama's way. No one in their mind would be like, "Oh, Jalen's terrible." We're just like, it just happens that at the same time he's there, so is Tua. You know what I mean? And so like no one's gonna be like, "Mac Jones was terrible." No, it's just the same time that Mac was there, so was Jalen, and so was Tua. You know what I mean? So he only got to play 1 year, really. And so, like, that's just a part of the Alabama fabric. You got to be knit to be able to hang on and fight the scrap to get on the field, because we know greatness is in you when you get out there.
Well, I will tell you this, something you are surprised about. I know you just went into the Ring of Honor. Congratulations with the Seahawks.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
You would have never thought in a million years we'd be sitting here week 9 of the season and the Seahawks would be 5-3, right?
Oh, man. I'm really proud of Geno. Really proud of Geno. That is a surpriser. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy.
And, just even like his story. Of
he's leading the league in completion percentage.
I know, man. It's wild. And then you see Kenneth Walker back there, you know, dotting the I, you know. He's playing great as a rookie. He's got a shot to win Rookie of the Year. Like, you look at all that together and the defensive players are just playing lights out, and we've had some guys get injured. The backup comes in, and he looks like he's going to be a superstar. You're like, what is going on out there? I'm just proud of the guys. Totally shocked. Now, that I am shocked with. You know what I mean? Like, you know, no one would have thought that they'd be in first place and really in a great control of their future. You know, it's pretty cool.
I love Kenneth Walker at Michigan State. He looks like he's going to be a stud with what he's done the last few weeks.
I do too, man. Like, he's always he keeps his shoulders square. He gets up and down the field. Like, he knows how to make the extra, you know, I call it almost like the squeeze yards. You know what I mean? Like, you're almost tackled, and you kind of twist the shoulder, put your hand down, and you get like 2 or 3 more yards. And he just consistently falls forward to be like, you know, he's not like, you know, Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? But he uses like his everything he's got, an explosion to gain the extra yard. And man, and then when some guy misses, it's out the gate. You know, it's pretty awesome to watch.
Here's the lesson for me when I look at the Seahawks. It just shows you the power of belief with the football team, Sean Alexander, because those guys saw their coach get dragged and they believe in their coach. And now they're giving a lot of people the middle finger through the first half of the season.
100%. Laughing with a big belly. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, like, you know, at the end of the day, if your coach says, man, like, they think this is a rebounding year. There's no such thing as rebounding year in the NFL. Everybody's got a job. You're a pro. Go to work. And the Seattle guys have come in there, and they have done more than what we expected. And at the same time, they have coach for the Cardinals, Dennis? We are who they thought they were.
Yeah, Dennis Green. I mean, let him off the hook.
Hey, he's like, hey, now to see, I'm saying, we are who you think we are. You know, they're standing strong and they're telling Coach, yeah, Coach, you believe in us. We are who you think we are. You know, and it's wonderful.
And Russell Wilson has been miserable with the Broncos. You think he regrets his decision? Because that Broncos situation looks like it's a disaster right now.
No, I don't think so. And I'm close with Russ, just like I am with Geno and the guys in here in Seattle now. You know, I think that Seahawks and Russ were ready to go because when you build something for a decade, you kind of know how it all rolls. You know what I mean? If they're like, hey, how we all do this ain't going to really win us games. We need something fresh. That's called creative destruction, right, in the business room. You kind of break stuff up just to go make sure that you can create some success. And so that was a part of it for the Seahawks. And I think that for us, now it's kind of like going and playing with a new team without any really practice, any really training camp, any really OTAs. So he's figuring that out on the go. And how a person could say something. You could be like, hey, Sean, like, hey, you know, do the flips. Right. Well, when I'm with the Seahawks, that could be one thing. But when I was with Alabama, that could mean something else. Right. And so now how you even catching lingo and people's reactions and stuff, they're all trying to figure that out. And they just have to figure it out with live bullets. They didn't have the time of OTAs and mini camps and training camps to go figure it out. So that's why it looks so terrible, because we're expecting a decade season with the same kind of cook and chefs to be out there with a fresh dish, a fresh coach, fresh receivers, you know, and this is still the NFL. It doesn't come off as smooth all the time. Now, you take a person like Geno, we never knew what it was going to happen. No one did. And so that's what the freshness would look like. It was fresh for everybody. Russell had to get out of his mind of, it needs to look like what I was doing in Seattle. You know what I mean? And I think as they all do that, they're going to be okay.
So you're going to hand out the fifth Sean Alexander Freshman Player of the Year. The semifinalists are going to be announced tomorrow. Your previous winners, Trevor Lawrence, Kenneth Gainwell, Will Anderson Jr., and Brock Bowers. Tell me about the award a little bit.
Oh, man. So, you know, it all started actually with the Football Writers Association. One of the beat writers, Michael Griffin, who was in charge, he was a Football Writers Association president. He was, when I was a freshman, he was an Alabama beat writer. He's went on to Georgia, Michigan State. And so he called me up and said, hey, would you help me? This must have been like 7 years ago. Hey, would you help me pick out the freshman team? You know, love to be about football. You know, I was definitely retired. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I'd get back to the game, you know. So we're watching teams and talking, many great conversations. And then we picked out the All-American team, and it was a lot of fun. And then the next year, he says, we're thinking about naming the award after somebody that would just be a great name. And he said, you know, and Mike's a white man, but he was like, I would love to be an African-American that could really carry on the football legacy, to be like a great guy that had great talent and we knew it. And so I said, yeah, let me think about who that could be. And he was like, Sean, it's you. And I was like, what?
That's
so
awesome.
Super honored, super, super inspired. And that next year, we kind of wrote out a couple of things, and we wrote out these four words: talent. The talent had to jump off the screen. Like, you watch him, you're like, that guy's amazing. We called the word legend. So in the NFL, if you're a legend, that means that you played in the games, you were a good enough player. And so we said, does this person have the possibility to be a legend? In other words, they look like they could be a pro one day. So that's the second word. The third word is character. You know what I mean? Like, so me being so young, we always say, like, gosh, you know, we can't have a guy that's just a turd, because I'm still in the 40s. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still young enough where if they do bad, my name's going to be mentioned with it everywhere. So we had to have a guy that has some character. And the last word is the word ambassador. An ambassador just means somebody that speaks on behalf of. And so is this kid an ambassador for the university? Can we go up to the school and say, hey, would you let this young man speak on behalf of Clemson, Trevor Lawrence? Yes. You know, Memphis, Kenneth Gainwell, yes. Alabama, Will Anderson, yes. Georgia, Brock Bowers, yes. So we found four guys that fit those categories. Their talent's amazing. They look like they'd be pro guys. We know two of them are already there. They have great character, and at the same time, they are ambassadors for their universities. And that's how we've picked out the guys, and it's that we feel like we've been 4 for 4, and we've got a great list of 14, Fab 14, that's what I call the semifinalists. We've got 14 great freshmen that have potential to win this award for the Fifth.
Well, awesome stuff. Always appreciate the time. We always have a blast when you join us. Thanks so much for coming on and giving us some time today again.
No doubt, brother. Thank you.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.